Well, hello and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I'm coming to you today from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me, as always, from Berlin, Germany, even.
Yep.
Is Scotty Gall. Scotty, how are you?
I'm good, and I'll ask how you are.
Oh, you don't have to, mate. You don't have to ask.
Formalities. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm very good. What percentage are you drinking today?
4.8.
That's pretty tame for you.
Yeah, you're
particularly this time in the morning.
What's your blonde? 2.6, is it?
All I'll say is it's 100% beer, Scott. It's 100% beer.
It's none of that soy beer?
No, there's no such thing, mate. Well, there probably is. Who fucking knows? There actually probably is. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's fair to middling. And yours?
The aging process continues unabated.
Oh, the nose hairs, hey?
You and I, brother. Yeah, we know what we're talking about. Can I ask you, what's the point? What is the point of nose hairs?
Yeah, until you reach the age of 40, the point of them is expressly to protect your nostrils from dust follicles while you're doing tasks such as dusting. When you hit the age of 40, they take on a life of their own, and scientists are still working on an explanation.
Yeah, they eventually get to such a length where they block out dust particles for the whole room.
Yes.
Which I personally think is a bit of overkill.
You and me, brother.
I want to give a... that doesn't sound right. I want to give a brief shout-out to our one listener in Russia, Scott, who has been with us pretty much the whole way through this entire podcast, all 81 episodes. So Ooh. Whoever you are, thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. And you know what, Scott?
What?
That's one less than we have in Patreon subscriptions.
Yes. Yes.
So we have
one Russian
listener and we have two Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
And our offer stands from last week. The third person that signs up will get a best of CD personally signed by Scott and myself. And if that's not value for money, then I don't know what is.
Do you think that Lennon will be looking forward to the World Cup?
Oh, the old World Cup, yes, the upcoming World Cup that is controversial. I note that the United States that actually didn't make the World Cup have called for a boycott of it. But they haven't done it too strongly because their commander-in-chief has had some of his own issues there. But surely they're taking the piss, the US, when they ask the world to boycott the World Cup, Scott.
Yes.
And I'm not referring to the tape, which, of course, if it exists, I never, ever want to see. I think that's a good little segue into the World Report.
Scott, what's
going on this week?
Yeah, tell us about the Solomon Islands. Have you got your wiki page up? Tell us about the Solomon Islands. Sorry.
What's a wiki page?
Proceed.
Look, I'll just tell you what I know, okay? The Solomon Islands is a sovereign country consisting of six major islands and over 900 smaller islands in Oceania lining east of Papua New Guinea and northwest of Vanuatu, Scott. Has a land area that covers... Yeah, what?
Is that enough to qualify as an archipelago?
I wouldn't think so.
No.
It has a land area roughly of 28,400 kilometres or 11,000 square miles in the old currency. The country's capital is Honiara, and it has a population of roughly 600,000 at last count.
You know your stuff. You've boned up.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Scott, but I have done my research.
Let's dive into this. Just last week, farmers in the province of Malaita were instructed in a new and innovative manner at Bethel Village, in which they have the opportunity to cultivate their sweet potato yields with the explicit aim of increasing output.
What part of the province was that in?
West Kwa Rae.
Oh, I see. I see.
Mm-hmm. What do you ask?
Oh, no, it's nothing urgent.
Sound rather pensive.
Well, they're a very hard-working bunch, those Solomon Islanders, Scott, as you know. By the way, that's the name of their national hockey team.
Okay.
This seems to validate the recent comments by Mr. J.R. Van Villette, owner of J.R. Orchids, who said in his recent meeting with Solomon Islands High Commissioner H.E. Joy Keir that the 55 guest workers from the Solomon Islands who are currently working for him in New Zealand have displayed a dynamic work ethic and a level of commitment to the company that is second to none. And you know what, Scott? In fact, now I think of it, JR was so impressed.
That's very informal, JR.
Yep, that an extra 32 workers from the island have recently been added to the employment roster.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not at all surprised to hear about these developments. So, Scott, please fill us in on some more.
Yes, I will. Over 30 farmers from that section of the province attended a practical outdoors seminar under the auspices of the Taiwan Technical Mission, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, two things, Scott. Mm. I'll get to the other thing shortly. But firstly, how does this new method differ from what they've generally been doing?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. It's actually about the number of required mounts, Daniel.
Right, yeah, of course. Yep. The traditional methods required several potato vines with a single mount, which were planted at intervals on top of other mounts, I understand. So how are they going to do it now, Scott?
Yeah, it's a lot more simple than what you may think.
Really?
With the new method, only one vine is required, and it's not going to be planted in mounts at all. Rather, it's going to be planted in rows.
In rows. I like it. Yeah, the other question, of course, is Taiwan. What connection does Taiwan really have to potato farming in the Solomon Islands?
Yeah, I would say number one, brinkmanship with China in the Pacific area. Of course, the Chinese are building a naval base in Vanuatu. We've covered that recently, I believe, right?
Yeah. Not if Malcolm Turnbull can help it. He said some very stern things about the Chinese, and I'm sure that they're quaking in their boots. But Scott, in the event of war between Vanuatu and China, who do you think would win?
China.
Overwhelming force.
What about China and Taiwan?
Well, the Chinese. I mean, the Americans are all, you know, blustering and frothing at the mouth when it comes to rhetoric around Taiwan. But in the event of actual war, they just sit back and watch Taiwan be taken over formally by the Chinese.
Pretty much anyway. Anyone in China.
Yeah, that's right. Look, Scott, there's been subtle murmurs of interest from a certain Australian conglomerate.
Oh, look out.
And I think we know who we're talking about. And I think listeners to this podcast know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
But this conglomerate has recently invested heavily in the Taiwan Technical Mission with a view to profiting from increased output within the Solomon Islands potato sector. Interesting.
I didn't know that was an actual sector, but okay.
Yeah, of course it is.
The other possibility, of course, is that it could just be random.
It could be, but let's just watch this space, shall we?
Oh, to coin a phrase. The listeners will keenly remember the usage of that phrase from earlier episodes.
Really?
Now, though, to summarize the story, besides increasing output, the benefits are numerous, and they include reduction of the waste of space, which coincidentally sounds like a good name for an alternative music band. Next point. Easier application of fertilizer, another booming industry in the Pacific region. And last but not least, greater networking across the rim.
Yeah, that's the Pacific Rim. For those who are uncertain. Okay, just leave that one there. Look, I've got some points of my own, Scott.
Yeah.
By fertilizer, I think you are referring to guano, the stocks of which are diminishing.
Mm.
I mean, just take a look at Nauru, for instance, where it has been mined to the point of oblivion. And there are now plans to bait several South Pacific seabirds with laxatives on an ongoing basis to regenerate the industry. But I'm not too sure that will be enough. And as for the Taiwan Technical Mission, or the TTM, they distributed a brochure on a sweet potato production at the end of the demonstration, and I have obtained a copy, which I haven't had a chance to flick through as yet, so I must reserve my judgment until such time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Was it Mr. Hsu who did the demonstration, Scott?
Why, yes, it was. What do you ask?
Mm. Well, that's a good thing. Mm. I'm familiar with some of his work within the context of the mission, and while I'm still going to reserve my judgment until I've flicked through the brochure, I have no doubt that he would have run a very solid program there in Bethel Village.
Wow, you're so up to date. It's just incredible. But that's what you do.
Look, it has been said by numerous people that I'm actually a river to my people, and I'm not one to actually, you know, comment on that, but I'd say that would be spot on. Absolutely spot on.
What else is spot on?
I'll tell you what's spot on, mate. Good segue. I love it. I'll tell you what's spot on. are the team at the Shepparton Club. I travelled up to Shepparton earlier this week, Scott, and I've secured another advertisement for the podcast.
Oh.
Let's roll it. It's a happy day when everyone's smiling. It's a happy
day just hanging out with you. It's always a happy day here at your Shepparton Club.
New bistro, new menu.
You'll be happy with that.
Because it's a happy day. Yeah, it's a happy day. Oh, it's a happy day.
Come in and be a member today. It's a happy place.
As well, they hand it out free every day.
The Shepparton Club, your happy place.
You know what, Scott?
Mm.
It is a happy place. It's a very, very happy place.
How many times have you been there yourself?
Hundreds. Probably
hundreds of times.
Well, I used to go there at least twice a week, and that's not including special occasions like 21st, 40th, 50th, bar mitzvahs, engagement parties, weddings, and in some cases, funerals. It's just a vibrant place. And I think you know the demographics of Shepparton as well as I do, Scott.
Yeah.
And the people there just never stop laughing as they put their heart in into all those pokey machines. And try the $12 fish and chips with a nice green salad to the side and bottled tartare sauce.
Yep.
Scott, it says here on the running sheet that we have it just simply says Clowfus Review. Do you know anything about this?
Do you remember him?
Yeah, he's the guy with some sort of impairment that used to contribute to the podcast every now and then, yeah?
Yes, and I recently got in touch with him and the rehab is going very nicely.
Good.
And let me say, yeah.
What's the review on? What's the review on?
He's been spending a lot of time gaming lately and during a discussion.
That's a frivolous exercise.
It's rather frivolous, that's right. During a discussion, it came up that he would like to do some gaming reviews for us and he has now recorded a few of them. Which we will run one at a time, of
course.
For
free, yeah. We're not paying for this, yeah?
We are. But you're going to ask? No, keep this for after the podcast.
No, I don't want to know.
Don't want to know. That's okay. And we've got review number one right now. Roll it.
What's going on, YouTube? This is your boy Clowfus here with another video. Looking at some new games here.
Pretty good impression, eh, mate? That's every fucking dead shit YouTube gaming channel ever. They're all exactly the fucking same, mate. There's at least 100 billion of the fuckers out there. They all say exactly the same thing. They all do exactly the same thing. None of them are worth watching. And if you do watch them, then, mate, just kill yourself, to be quite honest. And if you have a gaming channel, then hang yourself or, you know, whatever's the most expedient way, mate. Pretend I didn't say expedient. What's the most expedient way, mate, of killing yourself? Just kill yourself. That's it, mate. G'day. And today I'm going to talk about some video games, mate. A new series where I review video games, mate, and talk about them. Even though I'm not a child, mate, I am going to talk about video games. So, g'day, dickheads. And today I'm going to talk about a robot game called Space Hulk Deathwing, mate. What a fucking great name. First, I thought this was a Marvel game, mate, but I was mistaken. In Deathwing, you play as a pissed off robot, mate, and you got a few mates with you, and one of them's a doctor, And one of them has a machine gun, but later you can give him a sledgehammer instead, mate. It's the best weapon in the game, mate, just like in real life. Anyway, you and your robot mates are all Catholics, and you live in space castles, and you take everything pretty fucking seriously. Jokes are off the menu, Sheilas are off the menu, mate. It's mostly about, I don't know, a lot of brooding and a lot of fighting, mate. Much like yours truly. Anyway, one day you find an old spaceship full of these dickheads that have got four arms and... to be honest, mate, they got a pretty bloody big chip on their fucking shoulders, I have to say. Oh, geez, blokes, you know, just have a few beers, mate, take a chill pill, you know. Don't get so worked up about this, mate. So anyway, you and your mates, you go on to this old spaceship to have a bit of a look-see. And these forearm beggars are like, oh, yeah, geez, mate, you know, welcome aboard our ship, and now I'm going to kill you, mate. So you and your mates are like, oh yeah, fair enough, mate, I see your point, so here, have some bullets, and hope you like mental electricity, because bang, smash, zap, and these dickheads just won't leave you alone, mate. It was, to be honest, it's almost as bad as that time I visited Benalla Tech when I was just a little tacker. Anyway, mate, I don't know why, but you have to walk through these narrow corridors, and you find some old books and shit, and these jokers just don't let up, mate. It's just... if it's like my bloody ex, mate, just won't leave you alone, just at you all the bloody time, just at you and at you and at you until, bang, mate, I've had enough, okay? And the thing about it is these dickheads, they're actually squatters, mate, because, you know, I don't mean to be racist, but you look at these fucking things and they're just kind of hissing at you and they got these claws and they got four arms and, you know, I don't think, you know, I don't want to be racist, but I don't think they built the spaceships. I think they flogged them, mate. Now, I don't think anyone invited them on board because they got a pretty big attitude problem. And there they are shitting up the place, walking around the place like they own it, you know. And, geez, mate, the nerve of these assholes. I mean, think about it. Okay, look at it this way, mate. How about I go over to their spaceship, assuming they have one, or I go over to their planet or their fucking hive ship or whatever it is. I go over to their hive ship and I wait around in their hive ship. And when them and their mates show up, maybe after a night at the pub, I grab his mate and I pull his mate's head off. Does that sound reasonable? Because I put it to you, mate, that such behavior is bang out of order and totally inappropriate. Anyway, mate, you can upgrade your blokes with lasers and shit, mate, but all I really need is the big flamethrower, mate. It's the best weapon in any video game ever, and like all weapons in the game, mate, it has unlimited ammunition, mate. So last weekend, I got a whole Saber VB and I booted up Space Hulk Deathwing, and I just sat next to an enemy spawn point for over 7 hours, just sinking piss and torching these fucking bugs as they crawled up out of this hatch, mate. It was fucking brilliant, mate. Oh, Clouffers, didn't it get boring? No, mate. No, mate. It got less boring as time went on, mate. So eventually, you know, predictably, the cops rock up because the neighbors are pissed off because of all the noise I'm making. You know, I can't, you know, I'll be honest, I can't recall much at this point, but apparently I was just... screaming, die, dickhead, die, with my PC speakers turned up full. And, you know, the cops used the word cackling, mate. Again, I was fucking smashed, mate, can't recall much of it, but as usual, the cops were total pricks, you know, fucking, you know, what a shocker, mate. Police in pig-headed shithead shocker, a headline that you'll never see, mate. You can play the game online, and one good point is that girls are not allowed to play the game, mate. So, final score, bloody top-notch game, 6 stubbies out of 6, mate. Play this game, or we cannot be friends. Space Hulk Deathwing is out now on IBM compatibles and Tandy home computers, mate.
Okay, Scott, did you understand the fucking word he was talking about then?
Nah, didn't even know the... I don't even know the game he's talking about. How did you find it overall?
I just just over my head and slightly nauseating at the same time.
Yeah, but we've got a series of those babies coming up. And
when you say a series, how many?
About half a dozen with potential plans for more.
Great. Scott, you may recall last week we had a segment in which we took some talkback calls.
Yes.
And during the week I received literally hundreds, if not, you know, tens of thousands of letters.
What were they wanting to know? From
just congratulating us on what a fantastic segment it was and how refreshing it was to actually have some live input into the podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are men of our people, Scott, so who are we to deprive the masses of what they want? So this week we've decided to take some more callers, and I'm looking into the Simpleton Podcast editorial team booth in Studio 2. They're waving at me, and they're saying that there's a call on the line, and it's for you, Scott. It's Dave from North Fitzroy.
Dave from North Fitzroy. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Scott. How are you going today?
Yeah. Oh, I'm well, thank you.
Hey, that's really great, dude. Hey, tell me, have you been down to Little Big Guys over in Westcarf?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
They do a massive smashed Evo. It's really gnarly.
Gee.
I'll tell you what else. The Tai Chi is brewed using mineralized dew gathered from Sherpas from the southern slopes of the upper reaches of the Himalayas.
Really?
It's fantastic stuff.
Are you shilling for the establishment or what? Is there a question, Dave?
Hey, man, I'm just telling you what it's a great little business down there in Westcarf. You should try it out sometime, dude.
I haven't been to Westcarf for a while, actually.
Thank you. I'm across the other side of the world and I rarely go to Melbourne, but I guess this is a little message you're giving to the listenership.
Hey, man, I think it's really cool that you travel. But next time you're in town, I think it'd be fantastic if you went down to Little Big Guys in Westcarf. It's fantastic.
Is that all you've got to say? Thanks, Dave.
Hey, mate, look, I've got to run. I'm catching up with Kate and Shelley down at the brew house over at Abbotsford. Do you guys want to come?
Abbotsford.
Sorry, I can't make it. You'd
have no worries, mate. Hey, listen, it was really great talking to you today. Stay cool.
Wow, Scott. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dave from North Fitzroy.
Daniel, just before we get on, was that cheaper advertising?
No. I think it was just your typical inner northern hipster just trying to share their wisdom with the world and using our particular podcast as a platform for that, Scott.
Yeah, all right. I'm down with that.
Hey, all above board, mate. All above board as far as I can see.
Yep. What's okay, on next? Scott. Oh, another call.
Yeah, there's another call. I'll say that this one's for me. This one is Tugger from Wallen. Tugger, are you there?
Hello?
Tugger.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on air.
David?
No, this is Daniel. Dave was just the previous caller.
Daniel. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you, Tugger. What do you want to tell us?
Now, I come from Wallen, and I've been crunching some numbers, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Blow me down with a feather duster. I crunch the numbers and the annual rates are up to $3,125 now.
Nah.
I decided to crunch some numbers.
Yes.
1/12 of that, 8.5%, is on rubbish collection.
Mm-hmm.
Rubbish collection, 3 bins, approximately $240, meaning $80 per bin.
Yeah.
But you know what, Daniel? I don't ever use my compost. Since the guinea pigs passed on, I've never used my compost, which means I don't put it out, it's not collected. That's $80.
Can I ask you a question, Tugger?
Go on.
What were the guinea pigs' names?
The guinea pigs' names were Susie and La La Loopsie. $80 I'm spending on nothing.
It's a lot of money in this day and age, Tugger.
You can blow me down with a feather duster.
Yeah. Listen, what are you going to do, Tug? You going to
Well, that's what I was I'm calling for it.
Oh, you would like us to act on your behalf with the Wallon Council, which I think sits in the city of Hume, I believe.
I think that would be rather fitting, yes.
Tug, I'm going to pop you back to our producers, and you give them our names.
$80?
It's a lot of money, I understand.
Nothing.
For nothing. It used to be $80 for compost, but now it's $80 for nothing. We're going to put you back to our producers. You leave your details, and we'll get straight on to Hume City Council on your behalf. Thanks, Tugger.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Scott, I think that's a really refreshing segment, don't you?
Extremely refreshing. Yeah, two calls, and we take one each.
Yeah, it's nice. Okay, Scott, again, here on the running sheet, it says that there is another segment. This time it's called Who Was That Person?
Yeah.
Do you know about this?
Yeah, I know that the sports report hasn't been going down well.
True.
Yeah. Been trying to change it up a little bit and just find the right mix, you know, like Clarko with the Hawks. It's always about trying to find the right mix. And
I'm sure our one Russian listener will really resonate with that analogy.
So this pretty much involves me doing a monologue. And you can add sound later if you want to, Daniel, I guess.
Don't give away the secret, Scott.
Okay.
Go.
Here it is. Do you know what Kupi Luwak is? It's widely renowned as a delicacy, a coffee delicacy. The process involves the consumption of coffee beans by the palm civet cat. After a day to a day and a half, these coffee beans, still generally whole, are defecated out by the cat. The beans, now partially fermented, are said to have a special new flavour, which partly explains why civet coffee is now the world's most expensive. All good and well, I suppose, especially with the benefit of hindsight. But once upon a time, there was someone who did not have this hindsight, but they decided just to give it a shot anyway, thus becoming the creator of civet coffee. My question now is this. Who was this person? Kazumazu. Know what it is? It's regarded by some as a delicacy and involves leaving a perfectly good parmesan cheese cut open out for a few days, thus enabling flies to lay their eggs inside, and the resultant maggots start to eat up the cheese, reducing the amount of fat and softening it all up. Someone was the very first individual to give this a go. So then my question is this. Who was this person? Someone was the first ever person to conceive of and presumably go on to deliver the first ever legal delivery in cricket. Who was this person? Bullfighting. Someone was the one who came up with this. What circumstances led to this? Who was this person? Synchronized swimming. If your boat sunk 2 kilometres from the nearest island, would synchronized swimming be your first stroke of choice? Someone was the one who came up with this discipline. Did they conceive of it while lying awake in bed one night? Or was it a spontaneous outbreak that erupted one sunny afternoon in the backyard pool? Moreover, who was this person? X-rated motion picture pornography. Someone was the first. Who was this person?
Scott, very very interesting questions. I think we know the first person that you and I know that participated in an X-rated motion picture, but we'll leave that to a side. I want to get back to the civet coffee. Have you ever had a cup of civet coffee, Scott?
Never have done so, but I believe you have.
I've had 2 cups of coffee at a luncheon at a friend's place a few years back, and I can honestly tell you it is the most delightful cup of coffee I've ever had in my life. You don't sound convinced.
A couple of mental hurdles to get over before I take the leap there.
Well, you just keep sipping on what you're sipping. And then go down to the nearest, hipster cafe and have yourself a cup of coffee and you'll get over it.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
Scott, it's time for listeners' letters. Dear listeners, we cannot do this podcast without you. Oh, Scott, the sun's coming out through the west again, blinding me.
Oh, my goodness.
Just thought I'd let you know and let the simpletons out there know the stuff that I have to go through to get this podcast done. We can't get this podcast done without the listeners. And if they want to write to us, if you want to write to us on any subject matter whatsoever, then you can please do so by sending it to contact@simpletonpodcasts.com. That is contact@simpletonpodcasts.com. Would really appreciate your correspondence. And we have three letters now, Scott, and I believe you have the first one.
We totally can do it without the listeners, as we have done so until this point.
Shut up. Proceed.
Letter one is from Hermes Delilius, Canterbury Road, Vermont, Melbourne. And Hermes writes, "Do fish cry?" I believe you have letter two.
Yes.
In fact, I know it.
Well, yeah, it's not a belief system. It's just I've got the next letter. Scott, this one comes from No Name Supplied.
Again.
Campbell's Cross Reserve, Vermont, Wantirna Frontier, Melbourne. Now, two things.
Yeah.
Put your fucking name in the letter, okay? We're sick of this anonymous No Name Supplied bullshit. And if it happens again, we're not going to read the letter out. Secondly, is the Vermont Wantirna Frontier the line on the map in the Malways?
And, I'm sure it would be.
If so, how many people actually live there? Anyway, I'll read this out just one time.
Yeah.
And No Name Supplied writes. Thank you, No Name. Scott. You have the first. Oh no, sorry. You have the third letter. You have the first and the third letter.
Yes, yes. This one is from Bowles Felicius. Bowles comes from the corner of Heatherdale and Whitehorse Road, Mitcham, Melbourne, and Bowles writes, "I'm getting sick and tired of those letters from Anonymous. See it loud and see it clear, guys, because it's high time. Censorship."
Could not agree, Mr. Fallacious. Could not agree more. It's good to hear that some of our listeners have got our back, Scott. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right, Scott, it's time to wrap this particular baby up. Is there anything in the week ahead that Simpletons should be aware of?
Indeed, there is. This Sunday morning coming up at Violet Town Primary School, the kiddies there from the school are putting on a reenactment of Gettysburg, starring Paul Murray as Abraham Lincoln. There will be pumpkin scones and sausage rolls on offer. Are you getting down there, Daniel?
I'm getting down there for the fresh lemonade as much as anything else, but I'm also getting down there to see Paul Murray recite the Gettysburg Address in full, which I've always found has been quite haunting. It's almost like you're there. It's almost like you're there, Scott. Scott, thank you very much for your time.
Ditto. Goodbye.
Bye.